Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 1 says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.' And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these words, Lord, a little peek, a little prophecy to whet our appetite concerning what is going to happen down the road, Lord, in the future. Help us to understand this chapter. Help us to get it. Help us to, Lord, be challenged by this little view that we see as Jesus Christ enters center stage, Lord, after the rapture, and we behold him. Lord, what our reaction will be and who will be here and the song that will be sung. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, please, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace and protection through another week. For those, Lord, that would want to be here but cannot be. For those members that now are in the hospital, Lord, that need special help and healing. And, Lord, for those of us that are here, please open our hearts to the preaching of your word. Bless the sermon, bless the invitation, bless the baptismal service that will follow. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I've been using the radio broadcast to teach through the book of Revelation. We've just gone verse by verse. I imagine in the next couple of weeks we'll finish it up. But I love to read, I love to talk about, I love to teach the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. This is end time prophecy. This tells us about what will happen, what is happening, and what will happen after the rapture. It speaks of things like the rapture, the second coming of Jesus Christ. It speaks of and gives detailed information concerning the tribulation period and what will happen in the 7 years following the rapture. It tells us a little bit about what will be going on in heaven for those that have been raptured out, and great detail concerning the plagues and the judgment, the suffering that will occur here on earth. I would encourage everyone here to read the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you ought to read it so that it'll inspire you to be busy for the Lord. I believe when we see somebody saved, as Maddie came and received Jesus Christ just a couple weeks ago, and she'll be following in believer's baptism, I believe when we see a young person saved, I believe if we see anyone saved in this day and age, they're not only eternally being delivered from hell, I believe that they are being spared having to go through the tribulation period. If you're sitting here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is not a fairy tale. This is not the ramblings of some religious fanatic this morning. This is Bible prophecy and Bible truth. These things will happen. You say, "Oh, I don't know, preacher. I've heard ever since I was a kid that Jesus was coming back." All the way back to my grandma and grandpa used to say, "Where is his coming?" I've heard it my whole life. The Bible says that in the last day there'll be scoffers that come and say, "Where is his coming?" But remember this, folks. The Bible says that in a day that we think not, when people say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon him, as cometh upon a woman in travail, and they shall not escape. The most dangerous thing, please look up here and listen, the most dangerous thing that you can do is to ignore the gospel of Jesus Christ. The most dangerous thing that you can do is to treat this book as if it is some fairy tale written by a bunch of madmen. This is the Word of God. It contains thousands of prophecies that were given in times past that have already come to pass. We taught about it in our Sunday school class. Psalm chapter 22, 1,000 years before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, David is given minute details concerning what will be said and what will happen during the crucifixion. And every single one of them came true. And yet there's folks that read the book of Revelation and act as if these things will not come to pass. They will come to pass. Let me assure you that these things will happen. We'll put this chapter in context in just a second. But I want to preach this morning a message entitled Heaven's Choir. It's interesting, the group of people in verse number 9 that sings what the Bible says is a new song. And I want to talk about them in just a minute. I love listening to choir music. I really do. I know that there's folks that like quartets. And I like quartet music. There's folks that like solos and duets and trios. But I'm just one of these guys that like listening to a church choir sing. I like our church choir. I would sometimes probably am a little remiss not to share with our choir and our choir director how many times I've sat on the front pew up here during the choir special when we've had a guest speaker. And somewhere in the midst of the choir special, the guest speaker will lean over and say, "Man, your choir is excellent." I'm talking about people that travel in all over the country and hear a lot of choirs. And I like choir music. I was in Australia with Brother DeLong, and here we are, clear over. By the way, last Sunday morning, I don't want to confuse you. Trust me, I'm still confused. But last Sunday morning, which actually would have been your Saturday evening, I was standing behind the pulpit in Sydney, Australia, preaching 11,000 miles from where I stand today. 11,000 miles. If I look tired, it's because you have to go like this a lot to go 11,000 miles through the air. And 11,000 miles, my goodness sakes, I told my wife, "What are we doing here?" And this is so far from Jasonville, but in Sydney, Australia, preaching the gospel. Guess what? Preached the same gospel we preach in Jasonville, Indiana. After the service, a lady who came as a visitor received Jesus Christ as her Savior in response to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, this same book works everywhere. The same gospel saves everywhere. Here we are clear over there. The technology is amazing. Brother Reiser mentioned this morning, you know, the advances in travel. I mean, our folks, my grandparents, and just a few generations back couldn't imagine that you could get on an airplane and be almost anywhere in the world within 24 hours. That just boggles the mind when you think about it. Here we are over there in Cairns, Australia with Brother DeLong. We're in his home. He says, "I want to show you something." He goes over to the computer and he pulls up our website and he said, "Let me show you what me and my wife listen to a lot." And he reached down and he clicked on our choir, our adult choir, our teen choir, and our children's choir. Right there on our website, you can click and listen to our choir sing. And he said, "We love to listen to your choirs." And I told him, he said, "Now, which one do you like the best?" And I said, "Now, if I tell you the answer to that, I'll never be able to tell anybody at home what I said. But no, I'll tell you right out. I'll just tell you, I'd rather listen to the children's choir. Sorry, adults, I'd rather listen to the children's choir." Then we were talking about it, and he said, "Well, is that recent?" And I thought, "No, that's not recent. We've done that quite a few years ago." Matter of fact, I was wondering, how many of you in the auditorium today, you remember the CD we made? And you went down to Evansville? You were in the children's choir. You were in the children's choir when that CD was made. Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? Stand up. Stand up if you were in the children's choir. I think you guys can be seated. I think we need to make a new one. It's been a long time ago. These guys were in the children's choir when we made it. So how many of you were in the teen choir? Stand up. And we've got some of our teenagers out helping in ministry. Stand up if you were in the teen choir. Look at these old people. Man alive. All right. I changed my mind. I don't like either one of them choirs now. But we're in Australia listening to the choir music. He said, I wish we could start a choir. He said, one of these days we'll be able to start a choir. Listen, let me just say this. I've listened to children's or church choirs, and I've heard many of them. But we're never going to hear anything like what we're going to hear when we see this in Revelation chapter number 5. Let me tell you where we're at, folks. Let me explain where we're at. I believe that there's going to be a choir, according to the Bible, assembled in heaven one day. It is going to be made up of all of the redeemed of all of the ages. You think about that. This choir will sing a song that's never been sung before in any way like this has been sung. There's never been a choir assembled like this. Now, not everyone at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is a member of our church choir. But everyone at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that is saved will one day be a member of this heavenly choir when it sings before the throne of God. And you say, well, Brother Jerry, will I have a glorified body? Yes, you will. Will I have a glorified voice? Well, I'm praying that we do, amen, especially for a handful of you, that God will go ahead and supply you with a glorified vocal cords with your new glorified body. Because some of us, and I'll include myself in that, are kind of choir rejects, you know. I mean, it's not that we haven't tried to join the choir, but once they heard us, they decided maybe God had our gifts in a different place. But, you know, everybody will be a member of that choir that day. We're all going to sing that day in that choir. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about the choir. This morning, I want to preach on this subject, Heaven's Choir. I want to read these verses again, and I want to answer the question, who will be in this choir? Notice verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Who will be in this choir? The members of this choir are the redeemed of all of the ages. These are the raptured saints. I believe the 24 elders represent all of the saved of all of the ages. I read in one commentary where a man believes that 12 of these elders represent the 12 tribes of Israel and 12 represent the apostles, basically them representing all of the saints of the Old Testament, all of the saints of the New Testament, every single person that put their trust in Jesus Christ and what he did do on Calvary or would do on Calvary, depending on whether you're Old Testament or New Testament. Listen, there was not an Old Testament way to be saved and a New Testament way to be saved. It was either looking towards Jesus Christ, putting your trust in what he would do, or looking back now to what he did do. But everyone is in heaven the same way. You're there if you've trusted Christ, and if you didn't, you will not be there. What has happened up to this point? How do we find ourselves here before the throne of God? Well, quickly, let me review what's happened in the book of Revelation to this point. In Revelation chapter 1, John, the Bible says, is in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and Jesus Christ makes a personal appearance, commands him to write down the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. In chapter 1, he writes down for us the things that he saw that day, a personal appearance of Jesus Christ. In chapters 2 and 3, John writes 7 letters to 7 churches as they are personally dictated to him by Jesus Christ himself. This represents the church age, the space of grace between Christ's ascension into heaven and his promised return to the clouds to call up his bride. In chapter 4, John begins to write down the things that shall be hereafter. He records first of all for us the rapture of the church. Look at chapter 4. If you're still there in Revelation, look at verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit. This, of course, is a picture of the rapture of the church. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." You say, what's going to happen? Well, one of these days, God's going to extend his grace and extend his grace. And by the way, don't we have a patient God? Don't we have a long-suffering God? If you're here today and you're not saved, listen, the only reason Christ hasn't come back and that door of opportunity is closed is because God's amazing grace. But I'm going to tell you, there will be a day where God says, that's enough. He's going to send his son down. He'll come down to the clouds. He'll call out the saints of God. We will be raptured. The Bible says it will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I mean, we'll be here 1 second and gone the next. And you know what? The Bible says there will be a lying spirit, a strong spirit that will deliver delusion so that mankind will believe a lie concerning the disappearance of the thousands and thousands of people that will be snatched up to heaven. And then up in heaven, we see in chapter 4 and chapter 5, the saints assemble. We see what's going on with those that have been raptured. Chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6 chronicles for us what is happening in heaven after we've been taken up. And then beginning in chapter number 7, Jesus begins to break the seals that he found on this book. This is the book. This is the beginning of judgments that will come. And all of a sudden, the focal point leaves heaven. And chapter 7 and most of the rest of the chapter chronicles for us what will happen during the great tribulation period. That 7 years of God's judgment where he reigns upon the earth, his wrath without mixture. You know why? Because the folks have heard the gospel and heard the gospel and heard the gospel and heard the gospel. But you know what? They've scoffed. They've laughed. They've postponed it. They've put it off. They've treated it as if it was not very valuable, or they've chosen not to believe. But you know what? There came a time and point where God says, that's enough. Now in chapter number 5, what we see here is what's going on in heaven when with those that have been raptured out. This is what we see. And we see that there is praise that is being offered to Jehovah God who sits upon the heavenly throne. Listen, in chapter number 4, John begins to write down the things that shall be hereafter. He records first of all for us the rapture of the church. In this chapter, we also are introduced to the 24 elders in verse 4 and again in verse 9 through 11. These represents the saved of all of the earth. And they begin to praise the Lord. They begin to sing a new song in Revelation chapter 4, verses 9. Let's read that. And when those beasts which give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, and the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And you know what? The 24 elders are going to begin to praise the Lord. That's the representation. That represents the redeemed of all the ages. We're going to praise the Lord. And then in chapter number 5, we're going to get organized into a choir. When Jesus steps out, chapter 4, we're before the throne of God. We're seeing Jehovah God. Chapter 5, Jesus takes front and center. Jesus steps out. When they say, "Who's worthy to open the book?" John begins to weep and said, "No one stepped forward. No one was worthy. They searched heaven. They searched earth. Nobody was worthy to open the book to begin the judgment upon those that had rejected Christ." But wait a minute. The Bible says all of a sudden a lamb appears in front of the throne. And you know what? After this lamb appears, we see in chapter 5, verse 8, the four beasts, the 24 elders, they fall down before the lamb, and they begin in verse 9 to sing a new song. "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and every tongue and every people and every nation." Now, here in our text, all the saints of all previous ages are assembled. The who Who makes up this choir, preacher? The members are the redeemed of all the ages. Think about that. They worship at the throne of God. In chapter 5, the Lamb of God enters, and this sets off another heavenly worship service. The redeemed of all the ages welcome the one who is worthy to open the book. All of those present have one thing in common. While on earth, they heard the gospel. They came under conviction. They turned to Jesus Christ and received the gift of eternal life. Every single person that's in this choir will be redeemed. Every single person that's in this choir, sometime while they were here on earth, they heard the gospel, chose to believe it, repent of their sin, turn to Christ, humble themselves, and accept the gift of eternal life. If you've done that, you'll be there. If you haven't done that, you can do it today. You can sign up for heaven's choir. Let me say this. I will be there. I don't say that because I'm anything. I don't say that because I deserve it, because I don't. I say that because there was a day when I was a young man that I heard the gospel. And you know what I did? I went to an altar and I bowed my knee and I bowed my heart and I repented of my sins. And I said, I choose to put my faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I called out that day and asked Christ to save me. Listen, we live in such a wicked world. We live in such an age where people are so filled with themselves and so full of pride. Act like they don't need anything. Walking around strutting like they're perfect. You're not perfect. You're a lost sinner. Just like I was a lost sinner. And those of us that are saved, we're just saved sinners. It's Jesus that does. We live in a world, you know what? They rush back and forth and they treat Sunday like any other day. And man alive, for some people it's been years and years before they darken the door of a church house. They never touch this book, never pray to God, never humble their heart. Treat the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus like it's some kind of fairy tale. They go on in their pride. I don't need anything. I'm fine. I don't need nothing. I'm good. You know what? All the time they're marching closer and closer to hell. All the time they're risking the fact that Jesus could come today, and you know what? They could be left. Listen, folks, all I can do is be that voice. I can be that watchman on the wall. I can blow the trumpet. You know what? What you do with the gospel is up to you. But you will not now stand before God one of these days and say, no preacher ever told me. You're not going to stand before God and shake a finger. You didn't send anybody. Well, hello, here I am. I'm here with an open Bible telling you that Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now listen to me. God loves you and God's been merciful and God sent his son to die for you. And you know, if you want to be a member of this choir one of these days, then you know what? You're going to have to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, because the members of this choir are the redeemed of all the ages. Let me tell you something else about the members of this choir. The members of this choir are the redeemed of all the nations. Did you see that? Isn't that awesome? He said in the song there, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now, wait a minute. Let's just use our imagination. Let's have a good time this morning. Amen. Let's use our imagination. Hey, we might even have some choir practice here in a minute, you know. I thought that was at 6 o'clock. Well, we're going to have to practice sooner or later for this choir, and you're all going to be in it. So we might as well get our voices loosened up and do what we can. Amen? But who's going to be in this choir, preacher? It's going to be the members of the redeemed of all the nations. Every kindred, that means race or clan, will be represented. Every tongue means every language will be represented. Every people is talking about social group. Every social group will be represented. Nation talks about geographical groupings. You know what? There'll be representatives from every country and every continent. All the people groups of all the ages, all of the languages, all of the races, all of the clans. You say, Brother Jerry, how does this happen? Why is there such a widespread representation? Let me tell you why it happened. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world. We Americans sometimes, we think God died just for America. We do. We treat it that way. But God so loved the world. You know what? There will be people from every single kindred, every single tongue, every single people, every single nation. Let me tell you why that has happened. Look up here and listen. Let me tell you why that's happened. You know why there'll be people from every one of those? Because throughout the ages, there has always been a remnant of Christians who took the Great Commission seriously. Because of this, Christ's gospel has been preached around the world. And some, yes, some, according to this verse, from every kindred and every tongue and every people and every nation have embraced the gospel. Somebody's been saved from every clan. Somebody's been saved from every people group. Somebody's been saved from every social group. Somebody's been saved from every language. Somebody's been saved from every geographical grouping. You know what? There's going to be representations of every one of these types of people there in that choir on that day. I've heard some beautiful voices sing praises to God. Many of you, raise your hand if this is true of you. How many of you went to at least one of the trips that we took to Mexico? Would you raise your hand? A lot of our members there did. You know what? Remember listening to those sweet Spanish people down in Monterey on Sunday morning lift up their voice and sing the hymns that we recognized because the tunes were the same, but the language was different. But wasn't it beautiful to listen to those Spanish voices sing praises to God? Every one of those folks in Mexico that say we'll be there in heaven as part of that choir. You know what? I've heard some amazing choirs, as I mentioned before. There was a group of inner city kids in a church in South Philly that I preached for about 10 years ago. And one of the most amazing choirs I've ever seen in all of my life. And they were inner city, Philadelphia, South Philly kids. And they'd been saved and reached for Christ. And the youth pastor's wife had organized them into a choir. And they sang every night of the youth conference that I preached at. And man, I'd have come just to listen to that choir sing. And I'd watch those kids, and I mean kids from unbelievable backgrounds and kids from tough neighborhoods. But they found Christ and their lives were changed. There were several black girls in that choir, and they were down on one end, and the choir director would get them going and get them singing. And those handful of black girls, before they knew it, wouldn't realize they were doing it, but they'd start swaying while they were singing, you know. And they got soul. What can I say? They got soul. And then they'd go to swaying and swaying, and then she'd be leading them, and she'd look at them girls, and then they'd stop like that, and they'd start singing again. It's like they weren't trying to do it, and then they'd get going a little bit. And man, I just watched them black girls sing. I thought that was the coolest thing, you know. But you know what? They sang from their hearts, and you know what? They sang because they were redeemed. They sang because they were not ashamed of it. I loved watching them. I mean, I remember the inner city days when we worked, me and my wife and others here that worked when we were going to Bible college up in Chicago and watched them inner city kids get saved. I like watching those type of choirs, the City Baptist, the high school for bus kids up there that were Chicago bus kids organized a choir and some singing groups. And man, I'll tell you what, I'd rather hear them kids sing than anybody up there sing. I've listened to the group out in Oklahoma when we go to Brother Jerry McDonald's boys' home down there in Eufaula. And I'm going to tell you, you talk about Midwestern boys, you talk about young men and young ladies. I mean, you just talk about a cross-section of what Oklahoma is and them singing out for the Lord. I spent, as we mentioned, and we'll talk more about this tonight, and we want to share with you some things that God did in our hearts while we were on the missions trip. But even while we were in the church in Sydney, Australia, just a week ago, you know what? Sydney is an international city. It's like going to New York City. You think you're going to find Aussies there? Well, you will, but you'll find every other kind of person you can imagine there. And you know what? When we were there in that church on Sunday morning, I mean, I looked around and I had spent several days, me and my wife, meeting and spending time, personal time with a lot of the members. Pastor Gonderman there, he said, I could take all of your time, spend all of the time with you, and I would like to, but I have people in my church that I want to take out to meals. I want you to talk with them. I want you to influence them. I want you to help them. And you know what? Amazing what God had assembled in that church. There were people from Singapore in that church. There were people from the Philippines in that church. That church was started as a Filipino church 15 years ago. Still about 65-70% of the people are Filipino. And we seen people from South Africa in that church. We saw, of course, Aussies in that church there. The old Australians with all of their heavy accents and their weird sayings. And half the time, I didn't know what they were talking about. I just shaking my head like I understood. And you know what? But wait a minute. All of a sudden, it comes time to start singing. And the congregation begins to sing, and all of these people from all these varied backgrounds. There was a man there that came up to me afterwards, and I'd always ask him, how you got saved? How'd you get saved? How'd you get saved? This man escaped in the middle 80s from Romania. ran for his life. He said, I had to jump into a river and take that river and float and swim all the way to Yugoslavia to get out of the country because of the persecution and the murder and all the craziness that was happening in Romania back in the 80s. And he said, I made it all the way to Australia, and all this time I had no idea that I wasn't just running from communism. God had me running to Jesus Christ, and I came here in this church and learned about how to be saved. And you know what? I'm during the song service, I'm looking around, and all of these people from all of these people groups are in this little church, 250, 270 people, and you know what? They're all singing the same thing. They're all praising the same God. Listen, folks, that's just like a little picture of what this is going to be. Can you imagine when we get to heaven? Let me say this, folks, in that choir will be the converts of the missionaries that we support here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Please listen to me. There'll be the voices of the converts of our missionaries. We're going to see some people from South America that we've never met before, from Belize. And there'll be Brother Kevin Arthur and Brother Michael Leonard there. And they'll be there in their families and with their converts. And you know what? They'll be singing in that choir. Michelle Bass with her converts from Vanuatu will be there. And you know what? I can picture them now. I can picture them now smiling and singing. The Bissetts will be singing with their Irish converts in that wonderful, deep, rich English accent. Ron and Donna Bragg and David and Kelly Owens and David and Lacey Peach will be surrounded by African converts singing in their distinct and diversified dialects. Serves every language and every tongue. Dave Carney and Sam Wilson will be there with their Russian converts, and they'll be part of that choir. Yeah, Don Carney and the Limas will be shouting out their Spanish version with the sweet Mexican converts there, and the Cooks. And two generations of Johnson family missionaries will be harmonizing in Portuguese with their Brazilian converts, the DeLongs and the Hongs and the Steers, singing with a bunch of crazy Aussies up there in that choir. Rodney and Kathy Fitzsimmons weeping and singing with those precious poor third world converts from Haiti, who are still precious but no longer poor and no longer third world. They'll be first heaven residents, amen. There'll be a bunch of ex-convicts in that choir. Paul and Mickey Henry, who minister the prisons in Texas, will be singing alongside the Strike Leathers and the souls they've snatched from the prisons in the Philippines. There'll be Appalachian hillbillies won to Christ by the Hodges, singing by Japanese converts who found the Savior because of a lifetime of labor of John and Patty Himes. Can you see that great choir? Can you hear the voices? The Lamans will be there with their Chinese converts, along with the Lawrences and their Jewish converts, and the Morris family and their French singing converts, beside the Army and the Navy and the Air Force and the Marine voices led by Brother Tyler Ryberg in the middle, barking out cadence, the words to this song. Can you imagine the remade, think about this, the remade redeemed lepers? Tommy Tillman will be surrounded by on that day. Can you see their new bodies? Can you hear their new voices? They'll no longer have to live in squander and disgrace. No more are they outcasts. But on this day, they're joined arm in arm with Brother Luke and Miss Hannah, Dominican converts, the Jamaican converts reached by the Kimmels, and those sweet Filipino voices won to Christ by Josh Peach and his wife. And hey, by the way, there'll be some Yanks there. I don't know how many times in the last couple, 10 days, we've heard that. Hey, so you're a Yank. I guess I'm a Yank, amen. There'll be some Yanks there also. Yes, because of churches like Blessed Hope Baptist Church, there'll be some Southern Indiana rednecks in that choir. Yes, there'll be some Billy Bobs in that choir. Just what we need, amen. There'll be some bus kids in that choir. There'll be some dear senior saints that were reached in our nursing home ministries in that choir. Be some public school teenagers reached through our youth revivals and teen soul winning efforts. Listen, praise the Lord, America will be represented on that day. There'll be a revival. There'll be the revival meeting converts reached by Tom Williams and Fred Schindler and Bob Hamlin, Lou DeFelipe Antonio, and other evangelists who gave their life traveling, crisscrossing the country and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There'll be converts from Montana. There'll be converts from Connecticut and Virginia because of our church planters. And can you see Brother Bob Unger? Brother Bob Unger with his wild bunch of ex-rebels who were reached through the boys' homes singing alongside Ron Williams and the Hesaba House girls. And in between them, Brother Coblenz and his Amish converts in robes of white with little black hats on. Amen. Man, we're going to have a time up there. Let me say this. I'm glad that we support worldwide missions. I'm glad Blessed Hope Baptist Church is going to have a part in seeing that that choir is assembled. We're going to have a small part in contributing to the fact that all the kindreds of all the earth will be represented on that day. Hey, listen, by the way, if you found something more important to do than preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and reaching souls, you come tell me about it after church. Maybe God wants to hit a reset button in your life. We get caught up with so many other things, and our lives get consumed with so many other things. Hey, why don't you just get somebody in that choir with you singing one of these days? Why don't you bring somebody to Jesus? Let's never forget, folks, at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, the main thing must always be reaching lost souls for Christ. The main thing is the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But this choir, can you imagine this choir? Can you listen to them as they sing? Can you imagine seeing their faces? Listen to their voices 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands strong. All the redeemed in every language, from every kindred, from all cultures, every people group that has ever existed is now represented to sing the song of praise to our eternal Savior. Can you imagine the magnitude of the voices? Brother Bud, you're going to have a good time, aren't you? The blending of every dialect and every accent of every voice of all of history into one amazing, vibrant sound that will fill the heavens and echo across the universe. Man alive, I don't know about you, but I can't wait to sing with that choir. The members of that choir are the redeemed of all the ages. The members of that choir are the redeemed of all the nations. And the Bible says the members of that choir are going to sing a new song. They're going to sing a song that exalts Jesus Christ. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure are they are and were created. They're going to sing a song that relishes in their redemption. There's no greater thing that's ever happened to you in your life than your salvation. There's no greater thing that's ever happened to you in your life than your salvation. If you've never been saved, the greatest thing that needs to happen in your life is still ahead of you. I pray that you'll get saved today. They're going to sing a song proclaiming the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, that's going to be some kind of choir. Will you be in that choir? Let me tell you, when this choir is singing in Revelation chapter 5, when this choir is singing, you're going to be one of three places. Look up here and listen to me. When this choir is singing in Revelation chapter 5, you're going to be one of three places. If you are saved, you will be in this choir in heaven, singing together with all of this multitude of people. And I'm going to tell you, what a day that will be. If you die without Jesus Christ, you know what? While these folks are singing, you'll be in hell. If you are alive when Jesus Christ comes, while these folks are singing, you'll be down on earth suffering the great tribulation period. By the way, just don't flick this over your shoulder. Don't say in the back of your mind, by the way, it's not you saying it. There's a voice telling you this. It's not your voice. I can't wait to get out of here. And I don't want to hear this. Why don't you listen to that voice that's trying to speak right here to your heart? Because what I'm saying is true. And you know what? If it's not, you ask God whether or not it's true. You ask God right now, is that preacher telling me a bunch of baloney, or is he telling me the truth? But you, if Jesus Christ comes back and you are still alive, you'll be left here. And you ought to read Revelation chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10. You ought to read down through the rest of this book and understand you will live underneath the judgment of Almighty God. And everything that touches the earth during that time, you'll have to go through it. I don't want to see that happen. I don't want to see that happen. That's why we give our life doing what we do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That's why there's people that are exhausted this morning. You know why? They spent all day Saturday out visiting on bus routes. They got up early this morning. They run buses. They want to get children here. You know why? They want to get teenagers here. They want them to hear the gospel. Jesus loved you so much that he came down and was willing to die for you. And he did not stay dead. He was buried 3 days, 3 nights. He rose again. He can offer you salvation because he shed his blood. He can offer you eternal life because he beat death by raising from the dead. He can take care of all of your eternal worries. He can save you so that you'll never have to lay your head down on your pillow and ever wonder what's going to happen to you if you were to die. Man, that's a great deal. And not only that, you get to be a member of a choir. And one of these days, Christ is going to come, and he's going to make his entry, And we're all going to fall down and worship him. And then we're going to stand up together with all the saved of all the ages. And we're going to sing the song of redemption. If you're here without Christ, I would urge you to be saved today. I'd urge you to be saved. Understand God loves you. Understand God provided for you this chance for eternal life. I got in your songbook something. Would you get your songbook? A little piece of paper I stuck in here this morning. You know how long it takes to take a piece of paper that size and put it in every songbook in the entire church? I about preached my voice out. I'm under a little bit of the influence of jet lag, but I'm still going to try to lead you in this chorus. How many of you know this chorus? The words, the song that we sing from Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. How many of you know that? You're going to have to help me out right off the bat. We'll sing it once together, and then those of you that don't know it, listen or join in as best you can, and then we'll do it proper a second time, okay? Well, hopefully I'll start on the right key here. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power, for thou hast created, hast all things created, thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created, for thou art worthy, O Lord. Let's stand to our feet, everyone standing. Would you bow your head and close your eyes just for a minute? Can we sing it now a little bit softer? Let's sing it as a prayer. Let's spend a moment just worshiping the Lord. Hey, it's choir practice time. It's choir practice. We're all going to sing this to him one of these days. Let's just get into the spirit of it now. Ready? Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power, for thou hast created, hast all things created, thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created, for thou art worthy, O Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that you was pleased with that. Lord, thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to sing to you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this song that's sung in Revelation chapter 5. We sing it because of the redemption that you gave us. We sing it because of the grace bestowed upon us. We sing it because your Son came and died for us. We are able to sing it because there was a day that we got saved. Lord, I pray, dear God, that there's anyone here under the sound of my voice that's never received Christ as a Savior. They're an unbeliever in heart. God, that you would speak powerfully to their heart even now, God. Help them to realize that except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not enough to be religious. It's not enough to try to be a good person. It's not enough to try to get into heaven based on our own goodness. Lord, the best of the best of us are just sinners. Lord, we need the forgiving power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, dear God, that as best I could today, I tried to point folks to a Savior that would save them. Lord, I know that you loved us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus, I know you loved us because you came down, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Lord, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, what a beautiful word, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I've done the best I can with my weakened voice and my tired body. Lord, I look forward to one of these days being a part of this choir. I look forward to being able to meet all of the converts of all of the ages, of all of the nations. Thank you, God, that here at Blessed Hope we get to have a little part of that through our missions giving. We get to be able to reach some folks through our ministries here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Yes, we'll reach some, and some will hear the gospel and scoff and laugh and in their pride and arrogance walk away. But God, you at least offered it to them. And I pray, Lord, that we would break through that hard shell in the hearts of some folks, Lord. Whatever's standing in their way is preventing them from bowing a knee before you now. While it means something, while it can mean the difference of eternity, I pray, God, you'd work on their hearts. We thank you, Lord, in advance, Lord, for Maddie's baptism. Lord, we thank you that she came to Christ. But, Lord, before we have our baptismal service, there may be someone here that needs Jesus. I pray, God, that you'll help them. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song of invitation. During that invitation, we have an opportunity for people to be saved, for Christians to be helped if they need it. But here at the front, there's men that are waiting. They're trained to take the Bible and show people how to be saved. We have ladies that are ready to go, scattered around the auditorium, ready to take the Bible. If there's a lady or a young lady that comes and wants somebody to talk to them, show them how to be saved. Listen, if Christ has done all of these things for you, and he has, and all he asked is for you to accept a gift that he bought for you, that he purchased for you, why don't today be the day that you receive Christ as your Savior? Some of you have come and you've heard the gospel several times. Listen, I've just prayed for you. I haven't embarrassed you. I haven't pressured you. You know what? I believe God can do a work in your life. But maybe today's the day you ought to be saved. Preacher, I feel like God's working powerfully in my heart right now. I feel like there's a decision I need to make that I ought to make for Christ. I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. I want to be saved today before Christ comes back. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved. I'm not saved, but I am concerned about it. I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I'm not saved, but I am concerned about it. Preacher, I'm not saved yet, but I am concerned about it. Would you pray for me? God bless you. Anyone else? Would you pray for me, preacher? Would you pray for me this morning? I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. Heavenly Father, bless these that have indicated by uplifting hand, Lord, that they need to be saved. May they be saved today, please, before it's eternally too late. Lord, bless our invitation time.